Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this.
Renovations to the Memorial Arena in Grafton are underway. Following months of controversy and intense debate, the 76-year-old structure is getting major work done. The debate around the Alnwick-Haldeman Township Council table on this issue was tense, as were the discussions within the community. The expense was approved, yet there continues to be a lingering uneasiness. On today's show, you will hear from Councillor Mike Ainsworth, one of the vocal and passionate supporters of the project. He will unpack this project from multiple aspects, addressing many of the concerns raised at council and in the community. Have a listen and see if you would support such a project in your community and think about the way it was handled. I'm so pleased to have with me today Alnwick-Haldeman Township Councillor Mike Ainsworth. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks, Robert.
Let's start with some basics. Without getting into the background just yet, can you tell us the current status of the Memorial Arena upgrades?
So right now, the construction company has moved in last week. So right now they have all the boards and all the cement ripped out. Just like the cement around the outside walls. So all that's gone. The penalty boxes are gone. The players' benches are gone. And hopefully this week they're going to start to cut out the actual floor. So they're coming along actually pretty good.
What work is being proposed to be done?
So with this phase here, we are trying to replace the arena floor. So that will encompass the new lines going through the floor for freezing, the header that connects all those lines up, and we're changing over the old brine system to, I can't think of the name right now, but I will maybe later. And then then we're putting in a new ice machine. And then after that, they're going to replace the boards, replace the glass. So the two boxes are already on the one side of the arena, and they're going to spread them out and put the penalty box in between the two boxes. And then they're going to, once everything's put back together, everything's getting painted. We're getting new insulation material on the ceiling. And so hopefully when people walk in, they'll just kind of go like, wow, look at what happened here. But the area where you used to walk out into, there used to be a bit of a bird watch over top of there, I call it. So that's all going to be gone. You're going to walk out into a nice open space. Yeah. So
just to summarize then, we've got the concrete rink floor is going to be done. Refrigeration system is going to be done. The insulation, the boards, there's going to be some safety infrastructure and then some general work being done on the building itself. Is that a good summary?
Well, not so much the work in the building itself, because the actual building is in really good shape. They're actually surprised in how good a shape it's in. So that was actually a question and a concern from different people, but literally that building is in really good shape.
What are the projected costs?
I'm going to say $2.4 million is what the quotes came in as. There was a couple different ones, but they're all within that range. None was really outstanding. And I think basically we picked the person that our engineer knew that was good contractor, does good work. They've done 40 of these rink replacements, Rob. So this should be a walk in the park for them.
The
So
financing of this project can be a bit confusing. So let's go back to the costs just so we can be absolutely clear. Originally, council talked about a figure of $3.75 million to undertake the current work. Yet, as you've just told us, this has now dropped to about $2.3 million, which is about, you're saving about $1.5 million. Being as specific as you can, what work gets covered and how does that break down?
So you're right, it is $2.3 million. So when we first started talking about this project, the 3.7 was the number we got. So that's all we really had to go by. And so once we actually got to the point where we could put out the RFP, and the engineering company looked after all that for us. So we actually hired them ahead of time, and they're going to look after the project. So when it got to the point where the RFP went out, and we had four or five different companies quote on it. And so that's how we ended up with the 2.3. And we were surprised as anybody. We just saved ourselves $1.4 million. So that was great news.
How is this all being financed?
So the finance is working in a few ways. And because it was so urgent, so you have to remember back in 2025, some of the councillors voted to close the arena down. And of course we got that reversed, which was great. And then started the process of we went through Grafton Minor Hockey and then a private donor to get the money to fix the arena floor for that year. So that fix has actually lasted us 2 years. So that's awesome work, and thanks to everybody that helped. But it's a ticking time bomb. And we can't have it go down in the middle of a year and then everybody loses everything. So that's why this is so important. And that's why, staff and their great response to the project helped us put together a financial plan. And so this was the first thing that our new finance guy actually put together for us. So basically how it's running is that, when we passed the motion back in 25 to look at, surplus land, debentures, the development charges, or just going to the bank and getting a loan. So basically what they've done now is, and then of course fundraising is coming in on the back end. So we have the fundraising committee all together. It's taken longer than we hoped, but we just got to make sure everything's done right. We're asking people for a lot of money, and so we want to make sure we have all the all our I's dotted and our T's crossed, and the information that they need when they want to donate money. But before that happens, we had to have the money secure to get this job done. So staff went out and got a debenture, right? So that debenture is open for 18 months. So we can pull off that as much as we need while bringing in fundraising money. So we, in reality, we probably will never use the whole amount. And and so that's kind of how it's going to work. So if we need the money, it's there. If we don't need the money with the fundraising efforts coming in, then it's also going to be there.
So just for the listeners, so they're clear, a debenture, you've borrowed the full amount and you're only going to draw against it what's needed after the fundraising campaign and other sources have been spent. Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, kind of. So basically we'll probably draw from the debenture to I'm not sure. I can't tell you honestly how the contractors want to be paid, whether it's half up and half after they're done. That's something that our finance would have to answer. But I do know that we'll probably use some of that money. And then hopefully as we get this fundraising going, and we're really close with that. We've already got some people that are donated, and I don't want to let the cat out of the box too much, but we have a private donor that is really going to help us. And I know Grafton Minor Hockey is going to step up again. So I think when we see those donations come in, everybody's going to be surprised, and then we'll move on to, just keeping the project going. And I tell you, the way I feel, Rob, right now is I think we're going to get the first million fundraised pretty quick.
So, do you have to raise $2.3 million over 18 months to deal with that debenture, or are you just going to raise X number of dollars and then the debenture will cover the balance, and then the township taxpayers will pay off that amount? Can you just elaborate on how that works?
Well, I think you're partially right, Rob. I think what's happening is that, all the money that comes in for fundraising, we're going to use that right off the hop. And whatever's not there by the time the bills have to be paid, we'll have to probably draw from that debenture.
We don't know what that amount is going to be at this time because it's all contingent on the fundraising that's going to take place. Am I understanding
Absolutely.
that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Let's talk about the fundraising then. So how much is the community being asked to donate? Do you have a goal? Does the fundraising group have a goal that they want to do?
Well, Rob, we do have a goal, and in our terms of reference that came out with the fundraising committee, it was because that $3.7 million was there, our goal was $5 million. So now that $2.3 million is there, we don't actually have to raise the $5 million, but if we do, we can use that for more projects on the arena. So we're just gonna fundraise until we can, and hopefully we everything works out, and I'm quite confident that it is. We got a great group. They're just full of enthusiasm, and they're very smart on things to get done. So I think that's the best thing that I could say is that, our goal is to first is to probably raise the 3 million, and then work on the next two after that for different projects for the arena or the complex, because it was written out that it wasn't just the arena, it's that whole complex. So the ball diamonds, the arena, the playgrounds, all that stuff.
Has the fundraising group submitted a plan to council?
Yes. Yes.
And tell us about that plan, that strategy that they've got.
Well, that plan is a lot of what we're talking about. And what we were going to do with the fundraising, the dollar value that we were looking for, some of the projects that we wanted to do when it comes to events, and how we were going to structure our fundraising, from big businesses to smaller businesses in the area to, maybe at that 5 yard line, we'll start going to the residents and knocking on doors and saying, hey, and you know what? Anybody can fundraise, or sorry, anybody can donate for the fundraising efforts anytime they want. So we have an account set up at the town hall, and they can go in there and talk to the girls on the front desk, and anybody can walk in and donate anytime they want. It's all going to be taken looked after. It's all going to keep tallied of how much that it's in there. So we have our kind of our marching program that we want to do as far as the committee goes, and just being transparent with it all.
Has council approved that plan? Was it necessary for
Yes.
them to approve that?
Yeah.
So with that in hand, then I've heard that hockey people may be looking at adding a charge to registration fees that might go towards the project. Is that part of that strategy?
We haven't talked about that at all. No, I'd have to say no. That hasn't come up at council at all.
How's this going to affect affordability for participants? Is it going to have any impact? In other words, if I'm not interested in donating, if I play hockey and I can't afford to donate, it's not going to impact my ability to play hockey.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. We're not going after the users right now, and I don't see that in the future. I think, back, I don't know when, but I'm just saying, maybe last year we went through the fees or the user fee schedule, and that was all changed and brought up to date. So I don't see any impact on the users at all.
Could we Talk about contingencies and things of that nature. Usually these projects, sometimes there's things that happen that aren't expected. How much is being allowed for contingency?
So actually, Rob, the when you're dealing with an engineered project, it to my knowledge, the contingency fee is built in. So when they did the RFP, none of those companies asked for contingency money. So we didn't offer it, as far as the engineer goes, those kind of things are built in unless the company that's doing the job asks for a contingency fee. There is some money in that budget for if they have to if they find something that has to be looked after environmentally. So I think there's 15,000 for that. But we don't see anything because with the MSD sheets with that brine, it's the same stuff they're putting on the roads right now. So it's not a product that's hurting the environment. The water streams or anything like that. 'Cause I mean, they put that stuff on our roads every winter.
Are there any reserves that the township has for this purpose?
We have a bit of reserves in the arena fund, but we can also draw from other reserves and pay them back if we wanted to.
Does that not become a bit of a tricky business, though, when you start borrowing for, say, reserves for other things, parks or other services that you put money aside for? Doesn't that become a slippery slope?
Well, Rob, I have 100% faith in our staff. Our staff does a great job at this township. This staff that we got in there now is very knowledgeable about what's going on and very smart. They're saving us money in our budget every year. Last year, 2025, they saved us like $880,000 in our budget. And they're on path to save us that same amount this year. So I look at it, we got to trust our staff. They know how to do these things better than we do. And they're 100% on board with all this.
What about development charges? Doesn't the municipality usually get monies collected when development is taking place that you're supposed to use for these kinds of things? What's the status of those in regards to being able to use those for this project?
Well, development charge is a good question because it was brought up. But development charges can only be used for new infrastructure. So if we built a new wing on the arena, we could use development charges for that. We could borrow from the development charges. That's underneath that Development Charges Act through the Ontario Prop. We could borrow from that to help with the arena if we had to, but then we got to figure out how to pay it back. So I mean, they are there too, and we're sitting pretty good with that amount on that account. But that's kind of how that works. If we were building a new arena, then yeah, we could probably use it. But because we're refurbishing the one that we have, it doesn't fall on that criteria for that, other than we can borrow from that if we want to.
Is there any word on grants?
Well, grants, yes, there is. There's an arena and recreational grant out from the province. I think it's $600 million, and I actually just had this conversation with my friends at David Piccini's office in Port Hope, and they're because there's question out there whether we're too late for it because we started the project now, and whether we can actually draw on that grant. So I'm just waiting for some confirmation from David Cheney's office to say, because the grant actually started back in 24, I believe, and then it got renewed in 26. So it's the same grant, and whether we can draw on that grant for this refurbation is kind of what I'm waiting for from them.
What is the status of the effort to sell surplus municipal lands? I know that was something you mentioned earlier in our conversation. Has there been
Yes.
any changes around things like, for example, the Fenella Hall or the Nawatin Shores Sanctuary lands or Sandy Beach or other parks?
Well, honest, Rob, none of them were on the market. Regardless of what you heard through social media and all the other stuff, those parcels were not on the market. We're talking about pieces of land that the township has had for 50 years. An acre here, 2 acres there, 6 acres there, a little sleeve of land between someone's property, that kind of stuff. The old gravel pit, the old ball diamond out in Centerton that we don't even use anymore. Those kind of pieces of land. We have a couple of pieces of land right in downtown Grafton, a couple down by Nowatin Sanctuary. We have some land there. So those are the kind of pieces of land that we were talking about. And then, but when you put the report together, basically all the land the township has it will come in that surplus part. We have 92 pieces of surplus land.
Well, it's interesting because I know surplus lands are in high demand as the Northumberland housing strategy is looking at places to build affordable housing. So is council going to be able to meet its obligations to that if these lands get sold off to help pay for the arena?
I would say yes. I mean, right now the surplus land sales on a bit of a roadblock. We did get some passed, and we did get some that, and there were some that didn't get passed. So until staff brings that report back to council, with the ones that actually got passed, then we can go from there. And because there was just the way the vote went at council, so the surplus land is basically on hold.
Are the costs associated with the project going to end up being paid by taxes? In other words, are taxpayers going to end up paying for this one way or the other?
Well, I'm hoping not, Rob. That's why we put this fundraising committee together. And it's I don't want, and the group doesn't want to put anything on the backs of the residents any more than we have to, because we know what it is, the cost of living is now. So I mean, I don't plan to raise this $2.3 million or $3 million in 1 year. So if this takes us a couple of years, 3 years to do, then we're on board to get that done.
So then how is the township going to deal with long-term debt servicing if in fact, I appreciate the spirit of what you're saying, but if it does come down to having to pay off some of this debenture or all of it, what can you say about that, about doing that long-term service on that debt?
So that was in the finance report, Rob, and it basically is with an average $300,000 home, it's basically $20 a year a household. And in 2 years, it would be $40 a year per household extra on their taxes.
Okay, so in one breath, you're telling me you're concerned about people and affordability, and yet on the other hand, you're saying, look, $20 to $40 is affordable. You shouldn't worry about it. What message do you want to send to taxpayers?
Well, I think the township has been let go for so long, Rob. We have so much of our infrastructure that is in need of fixing. And to be honest, we would have to raise the taxes so much for the residents that it would just be chaos. And we don't want to do that. So we're looking outside the box to try to figure out how to get these our community centers, our boat launches, the arena, the municipal office, all of them are to a point that they are in rough shape because they just haven't been dealt with for the last 25 or 30 years. So the arena was our worst piece of infrastructure, and that would cause the most havoc if we had to shut it down. So that was the one we picked first to get done.
So what about all these other things that need to be done? I mean, obviously there's a lot of financial pressure. You have that asset management plan and infrastructure strategy. So how do you see all these pieces now with the scenario that you just described coming together going forward?
I think we've just got to work as a team. And like I say, we've got a great staff. If they save us another $800,000 this year in our budget, there's some money that we can put towards stuff. Like I say, there's so many things that need to be done that's just been let go, and I haven't really got a good answer for you right now because we got to keep looking outside the box on how to fix these things. We can't go and raise the taxes some astronomical amount, because that's just gonna cause chaos for us.
Any surveys done in terms of putting these items into a priority. In other words, that the community could say, look, the arena is really, really high. You know, this percentage of people say this is what we got to do first, and here's what we're going to do second. Because, you know, you've got roads that need to be done. You've got water services to fix. You've got bridges and culverts. And, you know, you've got all this development that's taking place, which puts even more pressures. So aren't you sort of taking a risk in doing it this particular way when you're making the decision that the arena is first and all these other things may have to wait?
Well, it's part of our infrastructure, and we're saving infrastructure. And, you know, the arena went through a feasibility study, and it went through public meetings, and the company that did that, they give us three options with the arena, and we're trying to do the first option. So we're not putting all our eggs into one basket. So we're doing it that way for a purpose. So this is going to give us another 25 years with this new ice surface with that arena that hopefully we don't have to worry about it. Now we can move on to the next project and just kind of knock them off one at a time.
I respect your resolve, and I respect the way that you've presented all of this information. But I'm sure you must appreciate that you've talked a lot about hope. There's been a lot that we've talked about that is really not solid, that you know, you're figuring out as you're going along. You could understand or appreciate just how some taxpayers might not be very comfortable as you're moving forward and may not share your confidence. If you could speak to them, what would you like to say to them to assure them that this is all going to work out?
Well, to get this fundraising committee together, that was a big part of this whole project with the arena, because we knew financially with the township, we couldn't afford this. So that's where the fundraising committee come in. And, you know, and like I say, you're right. I believe we're going to do great with the fundraising. I believe it's going to bring the community closer, because the amount of people that need and want that arena is astronomical. You know, everything gets assessed by how many users we have, but that's not talking about the parents, the grandparents, the aunts and uncles, the brothers and sisters that come there and watch everybody play. And the amount of time that we use it for township events in the summertime and stuff. So it's, to me, it's fixing a piece of infrastructure that we need for the township. Because you also got to remember, when someone's moving into the township, they must be looking at, what do they have for me? Right? So we got ball diamonds, we got parks, we got boat launches, we got an arena. And we have to keep those things going and keep them viable for people to use. So paying for it, you know, the township hasn't done a lot of that in the last 30 years, Rob. And we've got to somehow look outside the box, and we got to fix all those items.
It's really easy to understand the passion of parents and kids and people like yourself who want to have a local facility to play hockey and other recreational activities. But according to Statistics Canada, there's about, 7,500 to maybe 8,000 people living in Alnwick-Haldimand at the moment. And there's just over 1,000 children who are below the age of 14. Is all this controversy and this money worth it?
To me, yes. Absolutely. Because of what that arena means to this facility, or pardon, to this township, and what that arena means to some of the people that don't even use it anymore, that grew up and using that arena, and their kids, like, not everybody can play all-star hockey. So they have to have a place to play hockey and ball hockey, you know, broom ball, figure skating, all that stuff. So this arena, to me, is a major part of our infrastructure and for our community.
But surely you can appreciate that there are some residents who would say, look, does the township really need an arena? Coburg's just 15 minutes away from Grafton.
But they're all full, Rob. We went through this when council actually turned the arena wanted to shut the arena down there a year and a bit ago, or 2 years ago, I guess. Grafton Minor Hockey was scrambling, and they had to use two different arenas just to get some ice time in. Well, we ended up repairing it and fixing it. So there's no extra ice time out there that someone can run a full season. You got our men's team, you got our women's team, you got the mixed team, you got the minor hockey. You got all those teams that are just not going to find more ice to rent.
This issue has produced some pretty passionate opinions within the township. It has also been a source of friction for council as debates have taken place and questions asked. What's being done to bridge those gaps? Let's start with council. What are you doing to build bridges at council?
We're being transparent. We're supporting staff that are supporting us, and they maybe it was late coming, but hey, when you want to do something in the municipality, Rob, you probably know as well as I do, it's a slow process. So things weren't coming out as fast as people wanted to, but you know, we were doing our best, and staff was doing the best to try to get things done. So from one meeting to the next meeting to, you know, whatever, it could be months kind of thing until something, you know, till the fruit on the tree is ready to pick kind of thing. So I just say it's that. And there's lots of people that don't need the arena and think the money should go somewhere else. But we have to look past ourselves of what that arena means to this township. In the whole picture, what it means to newcomers, what it means to the people that were here, that have used it, and their kids learn how to skate there, and all their kids' kids now are learning how to skate there, and just in general, what it means to this township.
What's being done though to patch over or to build bridges between these opposing sides? To concretely bring people together. I appreciate your arguments, and I'm not disagreeing, but I'm wondering what's being done to start to bring people together to get behind this project, because it's taking place now and everybody's moving forward.
Yes. Rob, it's a bit of a sticky situation, but I will tell you, we are transparent with people. Nobody is hiding anything. Staff is doing a great budget process. And I'm just going to say that you can stand on your head and spit gold bars to some people, and they can find a way to make it look like it's something bad.
Again, I appreciate very much what you're saying, but it was not just earlier this week that the integrity commissioner has been let go and you're about to hire a new one. Does that really instill confidence amongst taxpayers when you're doing stuff like that? How would you explain that in the context of everything that's been going on within the township?
So, Rob, I look at this as just like you and I hiring a contractor. If they're not doing what we ask them to do, we're going to get rid of them and hire another contractor. And if they don't do what we want to do, we're going to get rid of them and hire another contractor. So finally we get someone that looks after us properly. That's it. That's all that's going on with the integrity commissioner, is that we don't feel that they're doing the job that we want them to do. And we've had this conversation with them. We've handed them things that they need to look into, and we just don't like the way they're handling their end. So we're looking for a new one. So it's not like we just don't have one. We have to have one. So that was the whole process with the integrity commissioner.
You can appreciate how some people might look at that and say, you're getting rid of somebody who isn't giving you the answers that you want, rather than, you know, giving you the right answer or the wrong answer. So could you just elaborate on that aspect of it? I mean, just from a perception point of view.
Well, I wouldn't say that, Rob. I would say the fact that, you know, our staff and ourselves, there's so much information out there that we could probably get our own answer. But we have to have the integrity commissioner on for the township. So when we see stuff come back that we feel is wishy-washy, or, you know, playing the middle of the pack, or just not getting down to the bare taxes of what's going on, that's not helping us at all. We need to get a concrete answer and have enough evidence to back ourselves up, you know. And then so when we get stuff like that, we're just kind of looking at ourselves and throwing our hands up because, you know, maybe two issues before that, they actually put together a proper report and did the proper investigation and talked to the proper people. So we're done with that process. And that's why we were moving on and trying to find another one, because we just weren't happy with their process. So, you know, I don't know what I mean. And if people don't like that, well, we're looking out for the township. We have to be transparent. Sure, some stuff are done in closed and we have to keep it in closed, but we as council and staff have to look after this township. And if we feel we're getting a bad deal or we're not getting proper representation, we need to change that. So that's all it's about.
If you were sitting across the kitchen table, across from a resident, and you wanted to give them a brief assurance of how this is all going to turn out, what would you say to them?
I would say that we have to trust staff. You know, we come on as counselors and we have to learn all this stuff. Staff does it every day. So we have to trust our staff and we have to back our staff that they're doing the right thing. And they give us all the information we need to make the decision. You know, whether some people like the answer or they don't like the answer. But we have to trust our staff.
Mike Ainsworth, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Well, I appreciate it, Rob. And great topics, great conversation. And you know, I don't mind sitting down, and all the residents probably know this. I'm a pretty upfront guy, and I will sit down one on one with anybody and have these conversations, and be respectful with each other. That's the main thing. We have a township that we have looked after that's been let go for 30 years. And we've got a lot of things in this township that needs to be fixed. And I know it's going to be a burden on us, but you know, we have to do this outside the box, and we have to look for money to fix the things that need to be fixed in this municipality.
That was Northumberland Federation of Agriculture President Alan Crothers. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.